We felt the shudder as the pilots cranked the right engine. There was a low-pitched grinding sound as the engine started turning over, coming to life a moment later with a normal outpouring of black smoke. This was somewhat alarming when it was witnessed for the first time a few months ago. Now it was routine, or at least it used to be. This afternoon, everyone was a bit wide-eyed as the engine sputtered to life. I don't know how long we fell before impact. It seems like it was an hour, but I was told later it was only 10 or 15 minutes. It was a bit foggy, and the sun was just setting, so everything appeared to have the color sucked out of it. Only shades of gray remained. I remember the pilot's warning, first over the cabin's PA. Prepare for an emergency landing. A few moments later, the door of the flight deck flew open and the co-pilot, John, obviously panicked, wrenched his body in an impossible contortion so he could face the cabin squarely, then stuck his head through the door opening and yelled, "Prepare for a crash." Shortly after the second warning, Artemis was running up and down the aisle, trying to find his seat. I was mistakenly wrapped up in my own belief that we were in a plane that couldn't crash. Later, much, much later, I learned that Artemis never was secured, literally, to anything. Not even a seat, much less a seatbelt. He just sat down on the cabin floor in the tail section of the plane across from the toilet and waited. Gene had ousted Ronnie from his nap. He'd been stretched out on the cabin floor, sound asleep.
"What the hell's all this ruckus about?"
That was the last thing I heard him say. Forever. The tension was building as we glided silently down. Everyone had gone comatose. There was absolutely nothing anyone could do. We were slowly and silently drifting down. I'd seen an empty highway in the fading light and was convinced we were going to land on it. We were gliding smoothly. My thoughts turned to the inevitable. We were going to look pretty damn foolish trying to hitch a ride. 26 people standing by an airplane in the middle of the highway. The last thing on my mind was an actual crash. The atmosphere in the plane was that of a ghost ship. Everyone and everything in it was blank. Zombies hurtling to the end. Blank faces, vacant eyes, all pale. Color had washed out of everything. I'd never realized how important color is in spite of being a lighting designer for many years. It's human nature. We never appreciate what we have until it's gone. And when something is taken from us, something invaluable to our senses, it tears a hole in our very being. I'm sure everyone in the plane was experiencing the same feelings. One glance through the cabin confirmed it. Now color had vanished. All normal sounds had vanished, only to be replaced with an eerie silence accompanied by the faint rushing of air from outside. Our ability to think had vanished as well. Minds were occupied with one thing. Everyone was deep in prayer. God help us. I gazed out the window at the approaching landscape. It was dark, but I could still see an open highway with no traffic. I could still see wide open fields on both sides of the plain. But I could also see that we were heading straight for a patch of woods about three times as wide as a football field. The woods appeared to be made of tall pines. I couldn't really see well enough to discern exactly what the forest was composed of, but it really made no difference at this point. All I knew is that it was a thick forest, thick as the East Texas woods I had grown up knowing. And if I was correct, it would be comprised of large trees, perhaps 100 feet high, and the ground cover would be at least chest high and so thick you wouldn't be able to walk in it without a path or a sickle with which to create one. I realized one other thing at the moment. The forest was approaching fast, or rather, we were falling much faster than I cared to acknowledge. Darkness was closing in quickly as we silently sliced through the thick, humid air, hanging over some unknown location. I had no idea where we were, so we had to be somewhere in Louisiana. I guess the freeway below was I-10, one long piece of elevated highway that bore through some of the swampiest ground in the country, rivaling the Everglades in Florida. I was bent over in my seat, my head between my legs, in the classic crash position the cabin crew had been illustrating to me on every flight I had ever taken. My eyes kept being drawn to the Ace of Spades, which had curiously fallen square in the middle of my field of vision. The cabin was now completely silent. There was no sound penetrating from the outside. No engine noise, not a trace of the constant vibration we experienced during every flight. Things were quiet, deadly quiet. I straightened up for a moment and turned my head towards the front of the plane. There was no movement in the cabin at all, no talking, no screams, nothing but the faint sound of air rushing by the windows. I turned back and strained to see out the